On Wednesday of this week, this past week, we had our regular luncheon of interfaith clergy in Richmond. This group, made up of Christians and Muslims and Jewish leaders in the city of Richmond, called the Faith Forum, gathers on the last Wednesday of every month for a simple meal to get to know one another, to try to understand and make connections with each other, and to deepen the ties that bind. At this past week's gathering, around lunch, as we were enjoying fellowship, the host of this occasion invited us to introduce ourselves, because many of us are still getting to know each other, and then invited us to answer this question: what in your life is going on in these days where courage is being required from you, being invited from you, being summoned from your heart and yourself? Or put more simply, how and where in your lives are you being called to be more courageous? So after a pause and after some thoughtfulness, we took turns, each answering with something from our lives where we're striving to be more courageous. Some of the answers were deeply personal, and the tears started flowing from the person talking. Some of the answers related to the challenges of living and serving in faith communities where we have difficult challenges going on, changing finances maybe, changing circumstances, difficult individuals. Some of us shared comments about politics and even the president. It was a moving and meaningful exercise. So how would you answer that question? What is happening in your life in these days where you are asked to be, needing to be, more courageous? Maybe the answer is nothing, or very little. Very little is asking you to be courageous in these days. And if that's true, maybe it's time to rethink what you're doing, or rethink how you're living. Because you know what? God calls us to be faithful and to live with courage. Perhaps you are facing a new diagnosis. I know some of you are, and you find yourself, or maybe it's related to a loved one, in some challenging circumstances, and you wish it was different, but courage is being summoned from you. Perhaps you are concerned about a child, or the challenges of raising a child in these crazy days, or perhaps it's a parent that needs more from you. Or perhaps it's a struggling relationship. Or perhaps it's something else, and God is giving you courage. Courage to be present, courage to be helpful, courage to make changes. Maybe you find yourself in a new chapter of life. It's either expected or maybe it's unexpected, and it's full of grief or anxiety or fears or turmoil, and you're not in control, and you have to wait, and you have to be patient, and you have to trust God, and you have to be courageous. We have a passage from Scripture today. It's especially pertinent, and it's important, and it's always helpful, this passage, to me. It's from Jeremiah 1. Listen to these words. "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations.' And then I said, 'Ah, Lord, truly, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy.' But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I'm only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. This is the word of the Lord. So, a schoolboy was sitting at his desk right in his house, right around the corner from the kitchen in his house, and he was working on a report for school. And at a loss for an appropriate introduction for his report, he got up and he put his pen down and he sought out his mother, who was in the kitchen. And without warning, he asked, Mother, how was I born? And the mother was well aware that the question of human reproduction would come at some point, but she was not at all ready to deal with it on that day as she was fixing dinner. So she responded with a loving and unhelpful answer. The stork brought you to us. The boy nodded, and then he moved into the living room where his grandmother was sitting there knitting. And again, without warning, he says, Grandma, how was mother born? My dear child, she said, the stork brought you here. She's a woman from another era. She wasn't going to come close to touching that conversation. She says, my dear child, the stork brought you here. Well, Grandma, the boy persisted, how were you born? Well, the stork brought me too, she insisted. And he thanked her, and he returned to his desk, and he picked up his pen, and he began to report the report with these words, there has not been a normal birth in my family for three generations. According to the prophet Jeremiah's call that we just read, there hasn't ever been a normal birth. If we're thinking about normal births in terms of humanly conceived and humanly produced, derived, there's never been a normal birth, according to this. Jeremiah's birth and all of life are part of God's plan and part of God's purposes, all emerging from God in the loving and faithful confidence of God's care and always for God's purposes. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. There's nothing normal about Jeremiah's birth. It's not brought by the stork. It is from God. And the same is true for all of us. For all of our lives, before you were formed in the womb, before you arrived in the world, God knew you just as surely as God knew Jeremiah. This is a powerful, formative, theological affirmation. Super important for our lives. We are known and loved, and we emerge in the world because of God. This is what we affirm day in and day out. Whether we live or whether we die, we belong to God. No matter what's going on, no matter the difficulties or the crises of our lives, we belong to God. God knows us. God knows what we're dealing with. And this word in this passage, the Hebrew word for know, is interchangeable with the word chosen. Before I formed you, I knew you. Before I formed you, I chose you. Before you thought of yourself, God thought of you, God says. And God has specific intentions for our lives, specific work to do. Jeremiah would be a prophet to the nations. All of us are formed and chosen, known and held by God, and we are given work to do for the healing, for the spreading of love, for justice and light wherever we find ourselves. The context of these words spoken to Jeremiah, the context of this amazing promise is especially important. Formed and known by God, chosen by God with specific purposes for and with God in the world, it's especially important when this is spoken. You remember in the first chapters of the Bible that God chose Abraham and Sarah. You can read about that from Genesis 12 on. God chose Abraham and Sarah to be God's people and to live in the world doing God's work. They, along with all of their descendants, all of them would find life and hope and blessings and purpose with God in covenant. Covenant with God. God would be their God, and the people would worship and serve God in the world. This is the foundational theme of the Bible, the whole Bible, underlying every passage of Scripture. We belong to God, we worship and serve God with our lives. This is the whole point of life. By the time we get to Jeremiah, we are 1,500 years into the story of God and God's people. There have been lots of ups and downs, losses and gains, joys and sadnesses. All along the way, successes and failures of life with and for God. By the time we get to Jeremiah, it's around 600 BC. And God's people have emerged from a wandering, struggling, uncertain people to be well established. 600 BC, well established. They have land, they have a temple, they have a king, and they have prosperity, even credibility in the Middle Eastern world. But also, around 600 BC, the time of Jeremiah, a crisis with a big C is emerging in the land. The Babylonian Empire, under the governance of Nebuchadnezzar, was a threatening force in the region. The region of Judah, held by God's beloved people, the cherished temple built by Solomon in Jerusalem, the king, seemingly forever safe because of God's covenant and God's promises, all were in extreme duress, under extreme threat. The Babylonian king and empire were about to obliterate the land and sack the temple and defeat the king and destroy any semblance of covenant life of the people with God. So Jeremiah is called by God as a prophet, filled with God's Spirit, to speak on behalf of God, to help the people, to help them imagine a life, to articulate a different world, a better world, a world that's filled with hope, a world aligned with God and serving God. God, throughout the Bible, uses prophets to move the people and move the world to a better realm, away from harm to hope, a realm of faithfulness and justice, a realm of peace and light, a realm of possibility. Prophets were used by God to corral and help God's people get to a better place. Imagine that place, articulate it. This is what God says to Jeremiah: before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you a prophet to the nations. So imagine the courage that Jeremiah might have had to summon up. Imagine the courage that might have been required for Jeremiah. This is a season of intense urgency for God's people. This is a time when everything familiar to them was going to fall apart. The Babylonians were moving with power and fear into the region. The land that God had given through all the generations had become a place of selfish gain. The people who had more were gaining more. The people who had less were losing more. It was not a place as God intended of justice and joy. The king established by God, set apart for faithful leadership by God, was embodying mostly corruption. The temple built for faithfulness and worship in God's city, Jerusalem, had become a place of mockery. The city itself, Jerusalem, no longer looked like a city on a hill that honored God. Everything was on the verge of collapse. Jeremiah is the chosen voice for truth and destruction. Jeremiah is the chosen voice about honesty, for hope, for God's people. Can you imagine the courage that might have been needed? He even cried out, "Ah, Lord, I can't do this. I'm just a boy. I don't even know what to say. I don't know how to speak. I'm just a boy." And he tried to get out of his calling, his commission in these calamitous, dangerous, disastrous times. And then it says, "But the Lord said, do not be afraid. I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." And God says, "I appoint you over the nations to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." Jeremiah's mission is, finally, to show the people the way of God, the way back to God. Jeremiah's mission is to imagine with them a new life for God's people, free from the corruptions and back to loving God and loving neighbor as God calls us to do. Isn't that the challenge of all of us? The bulletin reminds us we're all ministers. Isn't that the challenge of all of us? Be about God's love and worship, light and peace, wherever we find ourselves. How much does our city need this? How much does our nation need it? Our courageous lives in loving service for God's joy and justice, light and hope. We keep wanting to discover this new life with God, loving God and loving neighbors, moving our lives closer to God and all that God intends, peace, wholeness, hope, light, justice everywhere for everyone. This is God's vision. This is the singular mission in life. For all of us, work with and for God to make the world a place of love and hope and peace and possibility. Jeremiah's calling was to be a prophet in troubled times to help God's people find life. Life in worship and life in service to God. Jeremiah's calling in the face of tremendous challenge, tremendous calamity, was to be open to God and how God would use him to move the world toward this reign of God. Where are we being called in these days? Where are you being called in these days for courageous faithfulness? Remember what God says to Jeremiah, who was up against total destruction. Everything that he knew was going to be taken away and destroyed. God says, "Before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you." Our lives, all of us, are deeply rooted in the love and care of God. We heard it in the first lesson, that love bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Then finally and foremost, God says, "Do not fear. I am with you to deliver you." Where are you? Where are we being called in these days to be courageous? We got turmoil in our hearts. We got turmoil in our city. We got turmoil in the governor's mansion. We got turmoil in the nation, on the border, across the oceans. We got turmoil. Where is God calling us? We're called to be courageous and faithful in how we worship and how we love and serve God. The prophet Jeremiah always wants to move us to new ways of experiencing God, of trusting God, no matter what we're dealing with, and serving God. No matter how bad it got for Jeremiah and for the people of that day, God never deserted them. Jeremiah 29 says this, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare and not your harm, plans for a future with hope." Even with Jerusalem falling into the hands of Babylon, total despair coming over all, Jeremiah keeps focused on God and keeps striving to get others focused on God, God's promises, God's presence, God's love, God's never-ending care. God never leaves us. We belong to God. This intends to generate courageous living from all of us. May it be so. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we believe. Help our unbelief. And show us the way toward healing and hope, toward love and life, following Jesus. Amen.